Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
If your hair isn't performing like it used to, the answer isn't another hat. It's a proactive approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's also NSF certified for sport and the official hair growth partner of Major League Baseball, the only hair growth supplement trusted by the pros. Visit Nutrafol.com, enter promo code PMT. Get $10 off your first month subscription, and you get free shipping. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code PMT.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 56. Jeff Lowe, alongside Ken Jack and old TVT, Trill Ballins. First off, happy Father's Day, Trill Ballins. Your first ever Father's Day.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one. You know, I never really appreciated Father's Day until I was a father myself. So it's good to finally be in the captain's seat. No, I didn't really get anything. I didn't ask for anything. I said, don't worry about getting me anything. It just adds to the stress of having a newborn. So, yeah. I don't know, man. Just having the baby's enough. And I know it sounds corny and cheesy, but I'm a happy camper right now.
Did your wife say happy Father's Day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she got me a card.
That's cool. Yeah. That's a little novelty. That's
she,
neat.
She got me some candy and everything like that. But, I mean, there's not much to it. It's just, you know, it's good to have a happy, healthy baby and I did go to Golf Galaxy and kind of like walk around the store and smell the drivers. That's what dads do, right?
So two trailers came out last week, like right after we recorded. And so we're going to talk about them. The first being Dumbo. Dumbo the Flying Elephant is a live action movie. It's coming out next year. I think March. I don't know when it's coming out. It's coming out next year, though. It's a 2019 release, and it's going to be out the same year as Lion King as well. There's going to be two pretty big budget live action Disney movies. What do we think about the Dumbo trailer? Danny DeVito wearing a top hat again with Tim Burton, Michael Keaton again with Tim Burton, Colin Farrell's in it. Some wild stuff.
Remind me of Big Fish a little bit.
All right. Is that like...
Man, I thought this is a conversation. We go back and forth.
I'm not picking up the reference.
The Tim Burton movie, Big Fish?
Never saw.
Oh. Is it called Big Fish, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I didn't really know where you're going with that. I didn't pick up much of it. I don't know if I would have said it was a Tim Burton movie had I not known Tim Burton was doing the movie. It's not like overly Tim Burton-y, because I'm also feeling like they're not going to let him be overly Tim Burton-y either, though.
Yeah, that's why it felt like Big Fish. It was magical and whimsical, and it wasn't drab and dreary. It looked pretty good. I don't know how excited I am for this, just because I'm not the biggest Dumbo stan in the world. I don't stand for Dumbo. But it looks pretty decent, and I know we like to rip on Tim Burton a lot on the podcast, but this one looks okay.
Do we like to rip on Tim Burton?
I do. I like to rip on Tim Burton.
I said that even though my next talking point was going to be that I can't remember the last good movie Tim Burton made. Was it like Edward Scissorhands?
Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium.
Sweeney Todd, maybe. Like that, I can't think of anything else.
I would probably say Sweeney Todd.
Like, what's he made between that director-wise?
Sweeney Todd.
You have to make a parody of that eventually. Oh, God, the movies between that are very Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows, Frankenweenie. Oh,
fuck Alice in Wonderland. I hated that movie.
Very bad movie. Big Eyes. Oh, God.
I forgot about Big Eyes. That was with Amy Adams. Frankenweenie. Frankenweenie wasn't bad, but I mean, that's not like, you know, you're not really packing much of a punch. I can't believe Charlie and the Chocolate Factory had such a good rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, and I'm not even just saying percentage, like just like critic score. Like it got over a 70.
That's surprising.
I really don't like that movie at all. I mean, I used to not love Tim Burton until I heard his interview about the Superman Lives documentary, which we've referenced many times on here. I liked him in that. I just, there was a different vibe for him that I got. And I'm like, you know what? I like Tim Burton. I also like that he fucking hates Joel Schumacher because of Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
You know what I liked about this trailer, though? You didn't get to see much of Dumbo. They're saving that one.
It's an elephant.
Everybody wants to know what the CGI Dumbo is going to look like, but they didn't really give you that great of a look, did they? Keeping us on edge.
You got a little look. It looks good. It's a weird thing. It's a small elephant with big ears. And again, it's the same thing with Lion King. It's like, you know, I mean, and Jungle Book, I guess. So Jungle Book looked incredible. I mean, the live action thing for like Aladdin, the genie is going to be, I'm very interested to see how the genie looks in Aladdin. I think that's going to be probably the biggest challenge out of all of these live action movies for Disney. Cause like the genie is such a easy to make cartoon, but how does it look CGI'd? But these animals, like, this is why these feel so unnecessary. It's like, I mean, an animal is a cartoon, makes sense, but these are now like real life animals talking, and like Lion King was serviceable, but everything else, it's weird. I mean, it's a money grab, but you know, it's just still kind of, something's just off for me still.
Yeah, I don't care, to be honest. It's so moot. Never liked the movie in the first place, so a CGI remake of it, like, I just care less.
Don't like Dumbo. Yeah, I'm not a Dumbo person. Do you know anyone who's a Dumbo person, though?
No.
Like, all those old Disney films with, like, 13 frames of animation in the entire movie. Just hard to get through sometimes. I don't feel like the Disney animated films started getting good until the 90s. That's a big hot take. Big hot take right there.
Don't gonna be honest. Not even excited for the Snow White live action either. Don't need that. Don't care. So the Cinderella one stunk. I do like Lily James, though. But I mean, none of those, just get those out of here. I'm not excited for Aladdin either, though. That's it. Just, again, no, we don't need any of these. I know, Kendrick, you love Beauty and the Beast, but like,
big fan.
These live action movies are the perfect example of what Hollywood doesn't need to do. Like, I know some people don't like superhero movies and all that stuff, but at least it's something like unique. These are just the stories that already exist, told basically the same way over again. And I'll just never be like fully on board with that. I can, like, if the movies are good, they're good, fine. But like, I'm never going to, you know, be on board with like, this is a great, great thing for Hollywood right here. Cause like, this is not.
I don't mind the talking animal Jungle Book or Lion King movies. I just like Aladdin is. I'm just, you're right. I'm not excited about Aladdin, but I'm excited about Lion King. So it's hard for me to say I don't need these movies when I want the Lion King. Yeah. I want the Lion King, John Favre.
But the rest of them kind of seem like cash grabs. Like even Beauty and the Beast was kind of a cash grab, but like, at least it had good songs. I think Lion King, just the cast alone, makes it like intriguing beyond just being like, oh, I kind of want to see that because it gives me nostalgia. So I think there's more elements to Lion King that can make it exciting than just like,
yeah,
that one factor.
Everything's a cash grab, though. That's the reason the industry exists.
Which, I mean, movies like this have to exist, but at the same time, I'm not sure they have to exist from Disney. Disney has the money to do some things. So then again, every time Disney makes an original movie, they fucking stink. So shout out John Carter of Mars. So, I mean,
Tomorrowland.
What was the one with Johnny Depp and the Winklevoss twin, old Army Hammer? Lone Ranger.
Oh, Lone Ranger. Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Jeff. They've tried to do more original things, and those have been big bombs. So
they only hit the quarter way point to making their money back they spent on Star Wars just this year. So maybe they need to make that money back. And, you know, Beauty and the Beast made what, like almost like $1.5 million or something, $1 billion or something like that. So the closer they get to beating that deficit, the better.
Yeah. So, I mean, trust me, I get why they're doing it. I just, like, I don't know. I'm not fully on board. Again, it's like a double-edged sword. I'm excited for it on one hand because, I mean, I'm sure I'll like it. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But on the other hand, it's like, It's like, if we're to complain about movies, like, these are the type of movies that, like, truly don't need to exist because they already do exist. So that's Dumbo. Horror news. More horror. Trill, you're going to see Hereditary soon, right? Is that the plan? Yeah. But how about The Nun? Put the trailer for The Nun. You see this? You hear about this one?
You see this, folks? You hear about this? The Nun. The Nun, folks. I don't have a joke. We're recording this late, so I'm really off my game. You get a pass on this episode.
I don't think there's any good joke you can do with this trailer. It's, I mean, it's a freaky trailer. So I've mentioned this before, but it's always interesting to me when we go in our mentions after we tweet a trailer to see, like, which trailers get the most pickup from our listeners. A lot of people were tweeting about The Nun. I wouldn't have expected that. There were a lot of comments on The Nun. I don't know if people find nuns freaky. It's also a spinoff of the Conjuring universe. I guess I should have mentioned that as well.
I think religious stuff just freaks people out in general. I said that, I think I mentioned it before, that just religion in general just, like, bugs me out. I got scared of going to my religion classes when I was younger, like, so much so I just stopped going for a year and got left back in religion, which was a real thing. And then I had to retake it with the kids that were younger than me so I could get my confirmation. It's really embarrassing, but it's just, that's how much I was hated going to that church basement. I think it looks kind of scary. I think just the idea of, like, a nun appearing out of nowhere, especially, like, in the end with that final jump scare, is just more freaky to me than most of the stuff that happened in Hereditary, which was culty.
The trailer says, make sure you watch until the end. Yeah, which, you know what? It made me watch until the end because I wasn't going to watch it until the end. I'm being 100% serious until they put that there so they know what they're doing. This is from the Conjuring people, I think, said in the trailer or something like that. So it's one of these, feels like one of these 2006 type horror movies where you just got, like, some creepy entity that keeps reappearing, and the entire movie is based on how creepy the character looks and sounds. I don't know how much depth or substance is going to be here. I don't know. Because you got some stuff like Hereditary, which people like, which seems like a little different of a twist on the horror genre. And then, of course, you have some of what Blumhouse has been doing. And then we're going back to these old faithful standby movies where things just look creepy and then they get 90 minutes of jump scares out of it. That's what I feel like this movie is.
They're also getting one of the co-writers from It in it. So it's going to be the guy who wrote all the Conjuring movies and then one of the co-writers from the script for It, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, maybe it'll be good. I mean, it looks creepy, and that's like 85% of a horror movie.
I just, like, this is another one of those ones I don't know. I don't think the Conjuring movies are all that bad, actually. So we'll see how this one goes. It's got, I don't know how to say her name. I think it's Tessa Farmiga. Her sister is Vera Farmiga, who people will recognize from many movies, including The Departed, also The Conjuring, Up in the Air. But she was in American Horror Story. Do you guys watch American Horror Story?
No.
I watched the first season, which is really good.
That's the one she's in, right? Murder House?
Murder House, yeah. That's a Ryan
Murphy. Murder House.
Murder House. Doom House. Ryan Murphy's MO is to make one absolutely brilliant season of television out of a concept. And then, no, I don't want to look like Glee. I will go down as saying is the first season of Glee is as good as you can get out of family television on Fox. Then you have the O.J. Simpson, People versus O.J. Simpson, the American Crime Story, and the American Horror Story, all great first seasons, but then they just get not as good as the first season.
You guys both watched the O.J. thing, right? From him?
Yeah.
I mean, that was fucking... That was awesome. I'm actually going to probably run that back at some point again. I loved that.
It was a great show aside from OJ himself, which was the most un-OJ like portrayal of OJ.
Yes. But, like, it was like even the bad was great. Like, that's the thing. Like, it had so many elements of, like, Sterling K. Brown.
Travolta.
Fantastic. Yeah. But then, like, Travolta or, you know, what's his face? So saying Juice. All the time.
Oh, David Schwimmer nonstop.
David Schwimmer. Yeah. Like, it was like the strange. Yeah.
Robert
it was
Kardashian. Just, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, but Sterling K. Brown is Darden. And then you had, it's Sunday, folks. Can't remember anything. Oh, yeah. Courtney B. Vance. Yeah, and Courtney then, Vance, though, is Johnny Cochran. I mean, they were incredible. But then on, it was the other half. It was just like some people were terrible. And Sarah Paulson was great as well, who's in basically everything Ryan Murphy does.
I don't know. I felt like Cuba Gooding was I felt like he was fine in that that TV series, but he wasn't playing O.J. Simpson. It's like he's a different character.
Well, to your point, though, and like I like Ryan Murphy, but like Assassination of Gianni Versace, I didn't like nearly as much. And they also scrapped. They were doing the Clinton Lewinsky scandal, but they scrapped it. I was kind of looking forward to that one because that was part of the. I mean, the charm with the O.J. thing is that it's such a well known thing. So to see it like rehashed with like well known actors and actresses is like such a big lore with it. And I mean, that's if they're going to keep doing that, they got to pick stories that people know very well and they can relate to like the small events. So we'll see.
That's the Nun, folks.
That's the Nun. Call of Duty. Well, no, we're not talking video games. We're talking about the Call of Duty movie, something that continues to just fascinate me. Just I find this very fascinating. Apparently, this is in an interview with Screen Rant for Sicario: Day of the Soldado. Stefano Salima briefly discussed, and I think he's the director of both movies. Let me look that up as I say this. Discussed the Call of Duty movie and seemed to be throwing some shade at the video game movie genre when asked what he has in store. And he says, "I can't tell you, but for sure, it's going to be a real movie." What does that even mean?
Makes me think it's not going to be real.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me, to me, that now sounds like it won't be a real movie. Like, I mean, I'm still confused by it. Yeah, he is the director of Day of the Soldado, and he's supposed to be doing the Call of Duty thing, apparently, which still, I just still don't totally get it. Like, it just, like, again, it's like making a football movie and calling it, like, oh, the Madden movie, but it having nothing to do with the video game. Because if it's going to be just a regular war movie, as you mentioned many times, like, you're just using the Call of Duty name to make money. It has nothing to do with Call of Duty. I guess unless they pull out some storylines from Call of Duty. Did you guys play this Call of Duty stories at all?
Yeah. Modern Warfare 2 is my last Call of Duty. That's where I gave up. That was a good game, but
good time to get out.
There's not much story in Call of Duty. It's like we've got an operative inside of cell 800 at the top secret facility and you need to bust him out. And then that's like 13% of the game.
You didn't buy into Soap McTavish's story throughout the first few Call of Duties? It was pretty intense.
No, I didn't, but there is Call of Duty lore that you could put into this movie. So maybe it'll be based around that. Maybe they'll take some video game storylines and slap them in this movie. What if they did like a timeline fuckery type thing and went back and forth between Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Black Ops and Call of Duty World War II and just like interspersed like scenes and had the characters related.
Like fucking Cloud Atlas.
Yeah. What if they just did like a high concept Cloud Atlas type movie with the Call of Duty franchise?
Oh God.
It's not the worst idea I've ever heard, to be honest. That really isn't the worst idea. It'd be mildly interesting if they're jumping between like the different types of Call of Duty. But I just like from what I've read and seen, like I'm not sure they'll do that. Like it's just gonna be just like a war movie and they're just gonna call it Call of Duty.
Dude, I'm telling you, they're fucking up big time by not making this a Jumanji like concept. Like we said this previous before in the podcast. Like some kid needs to go into like a bargain bookstore and find like an old beat down CD-ROM copy of like Call of Duty 2. Like on PC, and then that instantly transports them into this magical Call of Duty world. And like all the other technological movies being created, there's a city with like different apps in it for some reason.
So that's, you know, I guess that's Call of Duty. Not much more to say on that. And apparently the people creating it don't have much to say either, but we'll continue to keep an eye on that one because it's still, again, it fascinates me like what they're going to do with that and how they're going to spin that off. So Call of Duty movie, not much more on that. Speaking of John Travolta, we mentioned him earlier with the OJ show. He has a new movie out, folks.
Is it good?
You see is this? It good? You hear about this?
Is it good, Jeff? Is it a good movie?
Gotti.
It's got to be good. It's got to be good.
Got that fucking joke off.
Let me read the facts of this movie though. So Gotti, before I reveal what the, if you don't
directed
know already,
what by, the, directed yeah. by who?
Okay, so it's directed by Kevin Connolly, who you may or may not know as Eve from Entourage. So that's something in itself. John hey, Travolta baby, bro, in it.
He's directing the Gotti movie. He didn't cast you.
Kevin Connolly.
I don't know, drama. Vinny doesn't belong in this movie.
Hey, put him in this movie.
Hey. Okay.
Hey, you've ruined Baby Bro's career.
He directed this movie. This movie has been in development for a long time. Like, since 2010, the rights are secured for this movie. Lots of random people have been tied to it, including Al Pacino. Finally, this movie got made and released this year. I think 2 years ago they started filming. It's out. And on the review aggregating website, Rotten Tomatoes, it has a a big fat nothing percent.
Is that
and a 2.5 out of 10 average rating. So that's the thing. Like, I know when people bring this up, like, you guys hate Rotten Tomatoes, right? Like, we do. But sometimes it's more amazing looking at the number below the percentage, because even when a movie's really bad, like in a low percentage, that number doesn't always have like a massive fluctuation. Like, it's hard to find things that are below like a 3.5. Emoji Movie almost has a 3. It's like 2.8, I think. Gotti has a 2.5 out of 10. That is very hard to find on this website. So it fucking stinks, apparently. Last bit of news, Spamalot. They're eyeing Benedict Cumberbatch and Peter Dinklage. Spamalot thoughts. We've never really talked about Monty Python, really, in any respect. Are you, you guys like Monty Python type things? Does this interest you at all?
Hell yeah, I love Monty Python. It's legendary. It's iconic. I must admit, I've never seen or heard the Spamalot soundtrack, so I don't know much about Spamalot, which is based off of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and also maybe elements of Life of Brian in there as well. I think I don't know that well enough to say, but it will be nice to finally be able to experience Spamalot through the magic of cinema.
Yeah, I love Monty Python too. I've never heard anything from that soundtrack from the play either.
Oh, yeah, we'll name five of their songs.
Monty Python's?
No, I'm just fucking with
I could if you want, but I'm not going to.
I know you could.
Just kidding, I can't. Can Peter Dinklage do a British accent? Because his accent in fucking Infinity War stunk, and it's not even that good in Game of Thrones either.
You're being too kind. He stunk in Infinity War, period.
Well, his British accent, I'm more specifically, I'm going for is very, very
it was
bad.
Not. It wasn't good, yeah.
As someone without a British accent, it's hard for me to discern whether or not a British accent is bad. I of course I can tell like ridiculously bad British accents. I can pick those out, but Peter Dinklage's accent seems serviceable to me. I've never had a major issue with it.
Yeah, I think that Monty Python's one of those things. I'm surprised it hasn't been remade yet, like in general, all of those movies. Because they really got a lot of good things.
Same with like any old, like I guess they did remake a National Lampoon movie, but like these really old comedy type things. I am surprised they haven't gone back to the well on that. Though this could start the, you know, get the ball rolling here.
I don't know. I feel like the British are much more protected with doing remakes. They have a different style of TV and movies. Like the Sherlock releases on Netflix, be like new season of Sherlock available, and it's three fucking episodes, 90 minutes. Or they'll do a series of TV, as they say, and it'll just be one season. It'll be wildly popular. And they'll just cut it off. They'll be like, okay, we're done. Creatively, we're done. So maybe the Monty Python guys, they're very protective of their IP there and just haven't wanted a remake because, you know, why remake what's already been done well? Going back to Jeff's earlier line of questioning around Dumbo.
Yeah, wasn't The Office UK like two seasons, or as they call it, series, or just like six episodes each? It's only like 12 episodes. There's not many of them.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like six episodes per series, per season.
And well, they call them series, which makes it confusing because we're just dumb Americans here. Just Dumbo.
British shows always have a Christmas episode that's like standalone from the seasons. I feel like, I don't know. I'm basing this off of my sample size.
Actually, it says it right here. There are two Christmas episodes, separate seasons. Yeah. Jeez.
They did that for Sherlock as well. My sample size is Sherlock and The Office UK. So I don't know much more than that, but hopefully Spamalot's good because it could reinvigorate interest in Monty Python, which is absolutely brilliant comedy, as they say, sorry, I don't know how to finish that off. Ken Jack, take it home.
Do you think Monty Python type stuff would play nowadays? And that's not me saying it. Whoa, I'm just curious. Like, how do you think like a Monty Python type thing would play in our current, like, you know, culture of comedy with movies? Because obviously comedy, we've done many episodes on this. Comedy continues to change, and like what people find funny now or like what worked back then just doesn't work anymore. Look at Adam Sandler. I mean, he hasn't changed too much, really, like his strategy or formula, and it's just, it's gone to shit for better or worse.
I think a comedy troupe could work out now. I mean, what else really is like the Apatow gang? And those are like the best received comedies of the last 20 years. And they realistically are doing the same thing, except not all of them are all in the same movies. They kind of have a little more variation. So I think a new group could probably do it.
I don't know. I mean, I think the Monty Python stuff would play if they brought that back out and maybe remade some of that with that. I don't necessarily want them to do that, but I think there is a close relation between their style of comedy and a lot of Instagram meme humor, what with just like subversiveness and randomness and things of that nature. You know, one thing that I think Monty Python always stayed away from is like explicitly having punchlines. And if you look at a lot of memes now, they don't have punchlines. They're just stupid and funny.
What about Mel Brooks movies? Like, what if they were to remake, like, well, they did remake The Producers. Wasn't great. But what if they remade things like Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, History of the World Part 1, Silent Movie, Spaceballs? I feel like Spaceballs would not play. But, like what if they did that? I'm surprised they haven't done Mel Brooks movies, along with Monty Python.
I think they're going to be a good parody of Star Wars. Now, that is.
Yeah, I think we talked about the whole parody genre being dead because the internet's killed it. You just... if you want to see a parody, you can watch a 2-minute video on YouTube and it will scratch that itch for what you want out of a parody. A lot of people don't like the Mel Brooks later movies, though. You know,
a lot of people really don't like them.
They tend to separate Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddle, Mel Brooks, Young Frankenstein, Mel Brooks from Robin Hood, Men in Tights and Spaceballs, Mel Brooks. And I like them all, but Blazing Saddles is on a different stratosphere than something like Spaceballs and Robin Hood Men in Tights. They got dumber. I can appreciate both of them. I just wanted to shout out to all the Mel Brooks stans.
Yeah, big Mel Brooks guy.
Yeah. My favorite Star Wars comedy thing, by the way, is still the Family Guy ones. I mean,
oh yeah, easily.
Seth MacFarlane. And the Robot Chicken ones are very funny as well. They did a really good job with those. They're very funny. They kind of nailed everything. All right, so that's news. Not too exciting, but, you know, if we can make the news would be exciting every day. So that's what we got dealt with, and it's time to move on to talk more about Father's Day. Specifically Father's Day and movies. Dad movies. Trill, you fucking love talking about dad movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a favorite of yours. So we're gonna talk about some of the most popular dad movies. Like, what's the most dad movie of all time? We called out on Twitter, too, but I'll let you guys go first, and then I'll read some replies.
I've always felt like Tin Cup is the most dad movie of all time.
Oh, you motherfucker. I knew you were going to say Tin Cup.
But I've said it before, so it should be predictable. Yeah. I don't change my opinions because I've said them before. Like, I'm like, whoops, I can't say this anymore.
I do.
What percentage? What percentage of all of the most popular, like, if you were to take the 100 most popular dad movies, what percentage would be sports movies? I mean, you're thinking 20%.
Yeah, I think 20%.
You think that's it? Because I'm thinking like Field of Dreams, Tin Cup, The Natural, shit like that. Like, dads fucking love those movies.
That's three movies, and there's 100 movies.
I mean, that's just off the top of my head. I can go on and on. There's so many old, like, Kevin Costner era sports movies. Because, like, sports movies, I feel like, are not like what they used to be. Like, sports movies had, like, like, just something different about them, where nowadays they're, I mean, shit, what was the last fucking sports movie? the Kevin draft day. Like, I don't know. Like, they don't have
41.
Oh, 40. Yeah. 42 or whatever. Or 42. Oopsie. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I just feel like you would have a good amount of them being sports movies. That's a lot of the replies we got, at least. It's like, that's basically why I say that.
Another movie that is, my dad loved it. I don't know if anyone else's dad was, but when I think of a dad movie, it's like maybe a movie that's 6 out of 10, but a dad just fucking loves it. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the critics, man. He doesn't care about the ratings. He's like, this is a good movie. The Replacements falls in that category. My dad loves The Replacements, Jeff. And going back to your point about the sports movie, that used to come on HBO all the time back in high school, and he would watch it every time. You'd just be sitting there watching The Replacements.
Good pick.
Yeah. Somebody said Kevin Costner's entire catalog. So, yeah, I'll say – I won't say much higher than you guys, but I think it's a solid probably 25-30%. Though also I might be skewing it because Kevin Costner is in my head, and he's just – I feel like Kevin Costner was in every other movie made, like, in the early 90s, like, 80s. Like, it just – there's so much Kevin Costner.
Very true.
Just pops up. Remember when he just came in from the fucking clouds in Molly's Game, too?
And
he was involved in a sports scene too, like of all scenes during the movie, like it had to do with like ice skating, and then he talked about like her, or like, you know, Jeremy Bloom and all that. But no, that one's up there. Some other like weird replies, like a bunch of people said Logan. Like, wow. I mean, I guess some woke dads watching recent movies, but a couple that we got a lot: The Patriot was up there. Braveheart is that's a very dad movie. I feel like
anything
that's
a movie.
Yeah, Mel Gibson. Yeah, Mel Gibson is a very dad
Payback.
Movie.
Payback is a dad movie.
Collateral.
Man on Fire is another Ooh, dad movie, I feel
great
like.
Great dad movie.
Great dad movie. Anything having to do with a father figure seeking to save someone or get revenge, I think is dad movie territory.
Taken's up there. My dad loved Taken.
What about some classic movies? Dads love classic movies. The Sting, I feel like, is a classic dad movie.
Yeah.
Logan's Run is a classic dad movie.
Logan's Run. You might be the youngest person to utter the words Logan's Run in the last 10 years.
I think so, but I've every time I've talked with 60-year-old men about their movie preferences, it feels like Logan's Run always pops up. And maybe Paul Newman's entire catalog as well.
Caddyshack and Animal House, for sure. For sure. Caddyshack is a very dad movie. But so Animal House is as well. But also both good movies.
I blogged the top 10.
Cool Hand Luke.
I'm curious what you guys think of it. So
yeah, you did blog it. Do you want to read your top 10?
Yeah, curious what you guys think of it. Because I did it based off of like some other listicle research and just checking out what other guys had. I had for my number 10, Gran Torino. I think dads love Gran Torino on a whole. And most Clint Eastwood movies in general. Number 9, Godfather 1 and 2. I think dads hate Godfather 3, right?
Oh, yeah. Dads,
I mean, everyone hates Godfather 3, though.
Yeah, but dads especially actually hate it.
Hang on, let me pause you for a second. It's a Bill Simmons skit. He used to do cartoons when he was at ESPN, and he did a skit. It's a cartoon skit where he goes and he buys – it's not The Godfather, but it's Rocky. So in the same sense, he goes and he buys like the Rocky box set, and the Bill Simmons character at the counter at Best Buy takes out all of the Rockies after Rocky 2 or whatever and like leaves them on the counter. And you know, it's like some sort of like commentary on like shitty sequels. And I imagine that's how like someone like himself also feels about Godfather 3, where he would buy the box set and like remove the third one and throw it in the trash or something.
Yeah. After Godfather, I had Rudy. I think Rudy's like a quintessential dad movie. I think every dad loves it.
Oh, yeah.
My dad loves Rudy.
I'm sure. also, Indiana Jones, specifically Raiders and Last Crusade, because I think this is another common theme that dads just hate Temple of Doom. I've seen it more than one occasion, like an older boomer guy's been like, yeah, I love those Indiana Joneses, except for Temple of Doom, because just hate Kate Capshaw for some reason.
No, dads don't like anything that's too gritty and too dark, you know, and Temple of Doom is like the darker Indiana Jones movie.
In they love that heart scene, though. Big time.
Who doesn't? I mean, that's the only thing anyone remembers out of that movie, or the only two or three things.
That and Short Round, and that's it. Yeah. I said any Connery James Bond movie, like anything not Sean Connery, I think
most dads think just isn't canon to the James Bond universe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think a fucking dad thinks Pierce Brosnan's a real James Bond? Mm. Like they dads view Pierce Brosnan James Bond as like scary movie to screen. Like it's like, oh, that's just a fucking Bond parody. That doesn't even count.
Dads love Sean Connery and Roger Moore, and they hate everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
As James Bond, especially Timothy Dalton.
I feel like dads can also appreciate little things of like revived franchises or like very small things that like have charm. Like my dad does not like the Pierce Brosnan Bonds, but he like will always bring up how amazing the Daniel Craig scene is in Casino Royale, like the parkour scene. Mm-hmm. Like it's like it's got like that little like extra like new age charm to it that like he can appreciate compared to the old Bonds, which are still his favorites. It's like I can see that for sure. But continue. Yeah.
My dad just loves, I think Robert Shaw was in Dr. No, and he's a big Robert Shaw fan because of Jaws, another great dad movie. At number five, I had Predator and Terminator tied. I think those are both quintessential dad movies, like the movies like they love to reference nonstop, like because they have just filled with Arnie one-liners.
The Predator, I mean, you might be right. I can't relate, but I know the Terminator for sure. Like that one, no contest there. That one's got to be included.
Yeah, then I had Die Hard. It's just like that's like a shoe-in. Like I'm not, it might not even just not be a dad movie, but just like every dad knows and reveres Die Hard in general.
Actually, I think Trill's got it on in the background actually because it's Father's Day. He has to watch Die Hard.
Do you?
Yeah, I've watched many of these movies today without even knowing. It's just subconsciously happening.
Then I had Rocky and Rambo in a tie again, and I think specifically Rocky 1, Rocky 4 maybe. But nothing in between. And then Rambo First Blood. And they specifically like to say, like, whatever, First Blood, it's not Rambo.
Yeah, Rocky's up there with, man, sports movie-wise. Rocky is near the top for dad sports movies, too. That may take the cake, actually. That may be the number one dad sports movie. Though the baseball ones are...
I'll cut to number one for that, Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams, yeah. I think, is the number one
dad also, movie. Hoosiers... may not be on your list, but Hoosiers is definitely a dad movie for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dads love Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Dads love Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. We mentioned Sly Stallone, Arnie. I guess Die Hard Bruce Willis, but like I'm trying to think of like other actors that
Russell
are. Sean Connery. Yeah. Mel Gibson.
I think dads love Russell Crowe, even though they probably can't name more than three movies he's been in ever.
Like, I love Russell Crowe. What was that one he did? The Gladiator one? What was that movie?
And that's literally a conversation I've had with my father before.
Yeah, Russell Crowe. What's the one with the paint, the face paint, and You'll Never Take Our Freedom? That's Mel Gibson. Yeah. I mean,
close enough. They're both Australian, right?
It's all the same. Another series, we mentioned it before, National Lampoon movies as a whole. Dads love those, or the early ones at least. You know, saying like dads love Van Wilder, but like dads love the original Vacation, Christmas Vacation. Those are really up there. So yeah, there's a lot of dad movies, a lot of them. But those are up there. I'll read some other replies here. We got some bad replies too. I'm gonna shut some of those out. The obvious good ones: Godfather, Goodfellas. I mean, Godfather for sure, for sure. If you're currently the age of like 40 or older. You have to say The Godfather's in your top five favorite movies of all time. That's just the rules of the land. Like that's just how law works in this country. Con Air, I can see that one a little bit. A couple people said Armageddon. I'm not totally sure on Armageddon. Or are we ruling Armageddon a dad movie or no? Trill, you are a father, so I think you have the final say here.
It's got Bruce Willis. So I think it slides in the dad movie category by that virtue alone.
I think it's a great movie about a dad. I don't know if it's a dad movie, though.
The Sting, got that on here a couple times.
Sting's a big dad movie. Same with Cool Hand Luke.
Yes.
Yep. Three Amigos in here. Terminator 2. I'll do T2 as well. Taken, not a dad movie. No way. Taken, I'm not qualifying as a dad movie. Yeah. It's about a father.
It's another a great movie about it. Same thing. Yeah. Great movie about a dad, not a dad movie. Although my dad does fucking love it.
This would be a question that we can maybe answer on the next pod. This is your job, listeners. Tweet us the most recently released movie that also qualifies as a dad movie? Like, how far back could you go to qualify it as a dad movie? Like, does it have to be a decade? Like, nothing too recently, I think, would fall in that line. I just don't think it, like, there's no nostalgia built in there. And I don't think that would work.
I think there's no good way to define what a dad movie is. I think it comes down to what your dad likes, or what your father figure likes or granddad likes. I mean, it can be a wide variety. But I also will say, like, we mentioned a lot of dad movies with Terminator and Arnold Schwarzenegger and stuff like that. Are there any movies that, you know, maybe are a little softer that your dad might like? Like, because I know some folks' dads love Father of the Bride. It's got Steve Martin, and Steve Martin's a dad movie guy. It's a little bit of a more heartwarming comedy type of movie.
That's the top reply in our tweets from our fellow Barstool coworker, Casey Smith, said Father of the Bride, duh. And that has plenty of replies off that one. Yeah, I think for sure. Would you consider Field? Yeah, Last Samurai, real plus.
Field of Dreams is a more of a touching movie than a hyper masculine gladiator type of shindig.
Field of Dreams is, in a sense, a dad movie, and in terms of being a dad movie, but also, like, it's such a fatherly moment too, with, like, him building that thing and, like, the history for him. Field of Dreams may take the cake on that. But again, tweet us what you think the most recently released dad movie was. Like, what would qualify? Because I truly don't know where you draw the line. Let's see. Last couple things here. Movies your dad was forced to see with you, or your family. We'll just whittle it down to family, because I don't know, you know, maybe your dad was the movie guy, maybe your mom was. What's the worst movie that your parents had to sit through so you could enjoy?
Three Ninjas. The Three Ninjas. And I think the Three Ninjas sequel as well. Because I loved that shit at the time, but oh, those were awful movies. And that, you know what? Shout out to my dad. He went to go see it with me. There's a couple of movies I specifically remember seeing with my dad. Three Ninjas is one of them. The other one is Batman, the 1989 Batman. Took me to that in theaters. And I remember seeing that because, you know, I was so stoked to see the Batman movie. I love Batman. It's nice wouldn't memories. Have hated
that. Did he hate that?
No, he probably liked that one. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, when we talk about movies, it's fun because it can be an emotional experience too. You can relate, you know, your nostalgia to it, or you can relate bonding time with the family member. And on Father's Day, I think it's a good time to sit back and reflect on that a little bit.
I don't have a pick, because I don't think my dad ever went to the movie theaters with us. My mom is the primary movie person.
Well, then what's your pick for that? Like, what would she have to sit through?
For my mom? I don't know. She was a trooper. I don't think we ever went to, like, shitty movies. It was mostly, like, fantasy kid stuff, like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter and stuff like that. Anything else I saw on my own or with friends.
Yeah, because, like, some people replied, like, Attack of the Clones, which is not a good movie. But I feel like dads would be okay with that because it's Star Wars. Like, they're not like, ugh. Like, so my dad took me to go see Master of Disguise. That must have been fucking terrible. I mean, that movie is big time top 10 worst movie ever made, at least in my opinion, all things considered. We've talked about it multiple times before. Very annoying movie. But like that, if my kid dragged me to that, I would be just fucking bumming out. Like, that just stinks. That is as bad as it gets. No connection for you. Yeah, no connection for you at that age as a father. Nothing is funny. Oh man, that would just absolutely kill me. I'll read some replies though. The Digimon movie.
Ooh, I didn't know that existed.
Digimon, digital monsters. So that also includes the Pokemon movies as well.
I was about to say, I actually do remember this now. My dad did bring me to see Pokemon 2000, which was a great movie.
But like, dads must have been like, fuck this. Like, oh, all those, yeah, Pokemon movies. Like, I mean, dads across the country must have been going to those and just like not understanding anything that's happening. Like, if this is a movie based on that $500 in fucking trading cards that I buy my kid every year, like, this is really what this is. Pokemon's got to be up there. Digimon. I forgot Digimon was a thing, period, let alone its own movie. Yeah, a bunch of Star Wars again, but I don't think Star Wars counts. Got a couple Master of Disguise, 10,000 BC, Mortal Kombat. Well, I mean, but that's a bad experience for anyone that went and saw that movie. I mean, that's not just a you know, everyone really had a tough time. Don't mess with the Zohan. That's a young person. I'd have never had my dad take me to see Don't Mess with the Zohan.
I think that's a real shit. That's probably funny to a dad, though.
Ooh, the Super Mario Brothers movie starring John Leguizamo. Trill would. I don't know what your age was with that one, but with old John Lasagna. I feel like that's another one where if it was like the right time when that movie came out, especially because video games like still hadn't been like massively like relevant yet. Like they were popular and they were booming, and like Mario was popular, but like, I mean, for the person that age that would see this as a kid, like their father, I mean, they didn't play video games. They're like, what the fuck? And on top of that, it's a piece of shit movie.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, I feel like to Bob Hoskins, wherever you are.
Rip Bob Hoskins. Also, I feel like probably Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, those all fall in line as well.
Yeah.
I think Ninja Turtles might like be a little humorous to watch because it's, you know, I don't know, it's fucking mascots, but Power Rangers must have been rough. Power Rangers is such a weird thing.
Yeah, my dad hated that. And almost anything science fiction-y. He would purposely mispronounce like anybody in Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter's name, like any character's name. Used to call Dumbledore like Dusseldorf purposely to get like all of us pissed. Like,
oh, just yeah, to dunk on you.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Oh, that wizard guy, a Dusseldorf," and I'm like, "Fuck you, Dad." It's Dumbledore, bitch.
Yeah, three ninjas on there as well. Kazam, yeah, that would suck. Kazam, Scorpion King. Somebody replied, "Gotti today. We went today."
Ooh, why?
I mean, come on, it's 2018. You got to know by now when something's good or bad. You know, it's really no excuse on that one. Yeah, that's really it on that. Lots of good replies, though. Stuart Little. There you go. Muppet Treasure Island. There's your favorite, Ken Jack.
I wish I saw that with my dad.
Yeah, and then I guess that's really it. A bunch of the same replies. Again, lots of Attack of the Clones. But I don't think dads would have been really pissed off about that because it's Star Wars. There's at least something there they can relate to. Or like Pokemon or Digimon. Digimon especially, because like I feel like Digimon was so much less popular than Pokemon. So that's even more of like a brain fuck for a dad to be like, what in the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, I totally agree. Attack of the Clones is a poor choice just because like that's bad. It's not like unservicely bad for a dad. You know what I mean?
And that's not just like that's if like they came out with like a Rocky movie that relates to like a new age type thing or like a continuation, but like younger people, like a dad, it may hate it, but be like, oh, well, it's still, you know, it's Rocky.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Rocky when I was a kid.
Like,
so
my dad loved Aliens vs. Predators. That's a shit movie, but like, it's a continuation of an older franchise he loved. So he didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Little nostalgia in that. Did you ever play Digimon? What was Digimon? I forget. Was it a card game?
I think it was a card game and a video game, but I never played either. I was a strictly Pokemon person. I actually used to go to... do you ever play Yu-Gi-Oh! When you were younger?
No, but that was the other game people played besides Pokemon, or at least the thing that people had that people, you know...
I used to go to Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments at my local Toys R Us, and we used to like play against like regional... Like I got into like a regional tournament with a friend of mine who... He's now like an MLG gamer or something. And like, we used to like kick ass in Yu-Gi-Oh, except he was way, way better than me. And he had way more cards. And it was something I'm very glad I grew out of quickly because it was very nerdy.
Yu-Gi-Oh. God. Digimon. I forgot about it. I hadn't seen Digimon in a while. That was like a complete ripoff of Pokemon.
It looked so bad. No, it was. It just was.
Just a straight fucking knockoff. Three questions. Got some good ones this week. We're only going to do three. We'll get to more next weekend. First question. Who is worse? Who's the worst person? The make a comment about what happened in the movie guy or the repeat a line from the movie that everyone heard guy? I have to go with the repeat a line guy. Like the comment is okay because you're already saying it to yourself. I can let it go. The person who's about to say the line while it happens or like even worse than while it happens is like the millisecond before it happens. So you really can't hear the joke at all. I think that's the worst guy or girl. No discrimination. That's the worst human.
Yeah, I think the repeat a line guy. No, I'm laughing because I might have been the repeat a line guy at some point in the past. I don't know. I'm a reformed repeat a line guy.
We're guilty.
Yeah.
We're guilty like
everybody's guilty.
Who do it. Yeah, there are people who do it everything they watch because they want to prove to you that they've seen it.
Yeah, it's like my movie knowledge is very good, and I'm about to say this line from this movie. And like you're saying, yeah, the millisecond before is just so they can get it out before to show you they know it's coming. And it's obnoxious, but I think we've all done it.
I think repeat a line guy easily by like a huge margin.
Though, not to say comment on what's happening guy doesn't also suck ass. He stinks too.
Oh, yeah.
And it depends on the movie. Ready Player One, we mentioned this. The guy that sat in front of us at Ready Player One who pointed out every reference he understood, that one killed me. Especially because you knew that guy had that planned out the second he walked into that theater. He's like, oh, I got to keep an eye on all these Easter eggs. I got to be on my game. I got to prove to my friends that I know pop culture. So that guy stinks. Next question. Which movie characters have never had sex? Movie character that has never fucked. And the suggestion was Captain America, which I totally believe. I do not believe, despite his good looks, his charisma, his charms, that Captain America, with the exception of that one kiss he got from Sharon Carter, John Carter from Mars' sister, Sharon Carter in Civil War. Is it Civil War? No, Civil War.
Is he that even charming? Kiss,
he's never. I think he's charming. No. I think it's artificial. It's not natural charm. It's very artificial charm.
Seems like a dweeb to me, like a non-charming dweeb, like an Ian Miles Chong dweeb.
little dweeby. But you got to think, you got to think he has not had sex. That's where I'm going to land on that with Steve Rogers. I don't know about any other characters though. I mean, I feel like you're just going to say you're just going to name some Muppets, but I'll let Tro go first.
I don't think Jack Sparrow's had sex.
Interesting.
I don't. that runs counter to what you'd think because his character's based off of. Sex. Keith Richards, who is in Rolling Stones, who probably has had his fair share of sex in the 60s. But I think Jack Sparrow's too preoccupied with treasure and ships and things of that nature to focus on sex. I don't think he is a being who needs sex.
Do you think it's all an act then? How he tries to act like he's such a womanizer? You think that's like him just trying to pull the curtain over everyone and make it seem like he's like a smooth guy, but he just really doesn't know what he's doing. Can't close.
I think it's an act. I mean, I think he could close if he wanted to, but I just don't think I don't feel like he wants to. I don't feel like it interests him. He would rather find his ship.
That'd be an amazing plot point in the next Pirates of the Caribbean if they make it, where he's just sitting on the deck of his ship. And he's like, you know, I'm a virgin. And they're like, what the fuck? Like the guy with the monkey or whatever, just staring at him, like, are you shitting me?
Also, I think Dr. Emmett Brown, Doc Brown, has never had sex either.
Yeah, good call.
Well, I mean, if you're going along these lines, Willy Wonka hasn't had sex either, for sure.
Too busy.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like some of these characters are so focused on their pursuits and their professional or plundering and looting careers that they just do not have time for the Bone Malone.
No human being in the Napoleon Dynamite universe has ever had sex. Jar Jar has obviously never had sex and never will.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I mean, he has no friends. Like, I mean, just the idea of him and sex together is an offense to, like, everyone else. Like, he just doesn't have friends or anything. Yeah. He's just a fucking loser. I mean, that's part of why Jar Jar stinks. He's a loser. He's not even like a down on his luck, like Napoleon Dynamite. Like, yeah, you could maybe say he has like loser qualities, but like he's just kind of like a down on his luck, like not always in the best situations. Jar Jar just stinks. Guy just sucks.
I don't think any of the Minions have ever had sex.
Oh, and Gru hasn't either.
How do they get produced?
I don't know.
I would be willing to say that Gru and Willy Wonka hired the Minions and the Oompa Loompas so they could get more of their work done and they could go on dates, but the work still became too overwhelming and it just never really worked out. But doesn't Gru get married to or date the Kristen Wiig person in Despicable Me?
Lucy, I think. Yeah. No, wait. No, I don't think it's Lucy. Oh, I forget what the name of the character.
Imagine Gru having sex. He's so top heavy.
He is a very top heavy man.
Did you ever see Gru?
Do you ever see that picture of Steve Carell dressed up as Gru on Ellen?
Hold on.
Yes. It's a cursed image, dude. It is a cursed image.
It is. Wait, Kendra, have you not seen it?
No, I'm going to look it up now. Hold on.
That's surprising.
Holy shit. Where the
fuck would he do that?
It's so bad. It's like,
oh my God.
It is. Yeah, it's a cursed image. You said it right. Like, there's no better way to describe it. It's completely horrifying.
I'm saving this interview for later. Do you think PETA has ever had sex?
No. Maybe after the movies are over.
Yeah. Doesn't he get married to Katniss, or it's implied they will get married or something like that?
I don't know. I feel like he's kind of like, he's got that incel vibe.
We should just do an episode where we go through like the 100 greatest movie character of all time list on BuzzFeed or whatever, and just give our opinion to whether or not they've done sex.
Maybe that's our segment this week now.
What about George Bailey from A Wonderful Life? I mean, he has kids, but
I mean, I think that's a yes. I think we lost that one, right? I mean, he has to have, I think. I don't know. Who else though? Any other superheroes? That was kind of the option on that one. You know Tony Stark has had sex. The question about Stark is, how many kids does he have out there? I assume many.
E.T.
That's always my assumption. E.T.
Yoda?
Oh, Yoda's definitely never had sex.
Oh yeah. No, Yoda, that's think about that for a second. That was one of the things George Lucas did, was go back and have, also, I need to pause for a second. I'm reading there's this infographic about which Marvel characters have had sex with each other, and it said apparently Happy Hogan, the John Favreau character, has had sex with Pepper Potts.
What?
What comic book timeline did that take place?
Ew.
My goodness.
Yucky.
Wow. Part of what George Lucas did was go back in the prequels and make it so none of the Jedi can have sex. It's like, it's so random.
More nun-like.
They're all celibate.
The 800-year-old virgin.
Yeah. Though Clone Wars, the animated series, kind of implies Obi-Wan has gotten laid a couple times.
That's true. Yeah. What's her name? Satine.
Yeah, they try it because Ewan McGregor is a little too slick with Obi-Wan for you to be like, oh, that guy doesn't always follow the Jedi rules. This is a good potential future segment. Any last ones before we move on to our last thing? Kevin McAllister. Well, he definitely hasn't had sex within the universe of those two movies.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, what about Buzz?
Lightyear?
Yeah, dude, Buzz definitely... I mean, I think everybody in Home Alone has done it in the future, one point or another.
Do you think in the timeline of the two movies, Buzz and his girlfriend knocked boots?
No, they were so young. No, dude, don't do this to me.
I don't know. Buzz was, I don't know, kind of a crazy guy. Never know.
What about Gandalf?
Gandalf, that's tough. Gandalf, because on one hand, I'm thinking of him in the same aspect of Yoda, but on the other hand, he's Gandalf. I don't know. What about that? I mean, you could do a whole segment just based on the Harry Potter characters. Though Harry Potter was a very horny movie universe. There were some fairly horny moments in Harry Potter.
Were we watching the same movies?
Yes.
I don't remember the horny... horny HP moments.
It's not horny. Like, what were we just talking about the other day? That's a very horny movie. Oh, Batman and Robin. Yeah. Batman. Transformers is very horny, but Batman and Robin is very horny as well. But like Harry Potter, like they definitely don't shy away from relationships. I'll leave it at that. Also, Troy, what are you munching on there?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I'm just curious. Is that one of your Father's Day snacks? Okay, that's why I asked.
Sweet Tarts Chewy.
Ooh. Ooh.
They're little, little round, chewy sweet tarts. Really good. Sponsor of the pod.
Yeah, sweet tarts. Come sponsor the pod. That might be a future segment. That's a fun one, but we'd have to break it down. We'd have to go more in depth. Last thing. This is a comment, and I felt like we needed to read it out. And the Willy Wonka talk on here continues. What the fuck is the deal with the candy shop guy in Willy Wonka? One second he has 50 kids in his shop and he's throwing his candy all willy nilly, and the next moment he's coughing at Charlie to pay up after taking a bite of one candy bar. Clearly Charlie is a starving child, but this fucking guy wants his money. Also, why do only half of the adults have British accents? Everyone else has American accents. The latter, I think, is because they did not. I mean, it's not the exact idea of Death of Stalin, but I think they just were like, fuck it. Like, we don't care about accents here. Like just recognize it's in a different country. They're going to talk how they talk. But the guy brings up a very good point. I mean, the candy guy in that shop in Willy Wonka was literally taking the candy from the jars and hurling it at the kids. And then old Charlie Bucket, who, you know, in his poop infested house and they eat one loaf of bread the entire week, couldn't even get one free candy bar. I mean, the guy's kind of a dick. He's almost a villain in a sense in that movie.
Like, sorry, normally, kid, you missed the song. You got to come by during the song to get the candy. The rules here. And wherever city this is taking place, Frankfurt or where, I don't know.
The song takes place 10 minutes after the bell rings in school. When you miss that, you got to fucking pay up. You got to pay up. That is a funny idea, though, that he did watch Charlie across the street from his shop fish his hand down into the fucking sewer for a dollar and then come on up and, you know, didn't even offer him free candy.
Reasonable.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good comment. If you're not going to offer us a question, make us think a little bit. I did like that. That was good. Somebody also said that we should do a commentary on Willy Wonka with the mixtape guys. I'm curious if Tyler's seen Willy Wonka. My guess is no. I'm going to guess no that he hasn't. I think we're going to do Ridiculous 6 this week, though. We want to do a bad one. I don't really want to watch like a good movie because I think that would take like it's not as funny. But the Batman and Robin one came out pretty good. It was a good time. And Trill, we missed your presence, but you not being there allowed Ken Jock. The new, alternate.
What's up, bro?
There you go. Yeah,
it's me, Ken Jock.
Alternate universe Letterman.
Who do you know here?
But it allowed Ken Jock to get off many jokes about Alfred coming his pants. So it was pretty good
time.
Okay, we're gonna review Incredibles 2 this week. Very excited to talk about that. We don't know what our second segment's gonna be, but it'll be a good time. Maybe it'll be this sex thing. Maybe it'll be. I was thinking maybe worst sequels. That could be a good one. Ranking the worst sequels of all time. I don't know. Something like that. Regardless, the most important thing you can do this week is see Incredibles 2. For Ken Jack, Trill Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Thursday morning.